On the Big Breakfast catch-up with Claire, Matt and Kimber, Kimber led us on an important discussion on domestic violence.
We spoke to Premier Mark McGowan.
And some brilliant stories about what you found after a loved one had passed away.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6am on Mix 94.5.
This Big Breakfast catch-up is for Allianz Home and Motor Insurance. Allianz.
We thought we had a conversation, quite a deep conversation for 5:30 this morning, but we thought we'd share it on the air as well.
Yeah, and look, what we're about to talk about isn't easy, but we have to talk about this because I'm so tired, I'm distressed, and I know millions of Australians are, and I feel really shaky even talking about it, to be honest. I'm like, this really affects me because while all of the attention in the news has been focused on the Sydney Opera House and Alan Jones or Nick Cummins not choosing anyone on The Bachelor or the Cole situation right now, while that has been happening and while everyone has been so outraged over those things, six women have been killed in 5 days.
In Australia. Yeah.
Six women have been killed in 5 days. Now, some of them allegedly murdered by their partners, and yet all of them murdered by men. And don't be mistaken, this is not a man-hating rant, okay? Mm. That's not what it is. And it's important to mention that because, good men, we need you. Okay, good men, we need you in all of this. Someone needs to do something, and I don't know why we can get the entire country outraged about strawberries or, you know, Alan Jones and advertising on the Opera House, but we can't get anyone to be outraged about women being murdered in their homes.
And as you made the point,
carry on.
You made the point earlier about the changes to the law of with the one punch attacks when men were being hit by men. All of a sudden, laws changed, pub times were closed. Every time some poor person, man, is hit in a drunken one punch attack, it's all over the TV. We've got to find this perpetrator. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it doesn't seem to be the same with what you're talking about.
No, and those things are positive changes. Those things are, it is unacceptable. Violence is unacceptable no matter who it comes from and who it is directed at. Yep. But we are completely ignorant if we are pretending that there is not a serious issue in this country against women.
So exactly what you're talking about, Laurie, my wife, Laurie, for those who don't know it, just started reading out some stats last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, please tell me these are international stats. He said, no, this is our country. This is here in Australia.
This is, you're right, Clezzy. And you want to hear something devastating? I follow a Facebook page called Destroy the Joint, which counts dead women. Right? Now, 52 women have been killed in 2018 so far.
Right.
52 people in this country. And I'm sorry if that sounds confronting, but we are talking about dead women. And those two words together freak people out, but no one's discussing it.
And when you say killed, you mean
killed by deliberate acts of violence.
Yeah, they're damning stats, aren't they?
These six women in the last 5 days, these are women with friends, family, networks, and they've gone through, it is deliberate acts of violence that people are taking out on them.
Yeah.
That I don't understand how we get people to start talking about it. Why don't our politicians care? Why is it like no one's listening?
Well, some do, but it is. I mean, in the world in which we live in social media, there's so much outrage and so much outrage about ridiculous things.
Yeah.
Now, I looked at the level of outrage about Andrew Gaff hitting Andy Brayshaw for so many weeks in the news.
Over and over.
I understand we're passionate about sport. But this is, I mean, I'm looking at some white ribbon, domestic violence against women, some of the stats here. These continue to be damning, and not everything is about a woman dying, but this is like 1 in 4 women experiencing emotional abuse since the age of 15. So that's 1 in 4. 1 in 5 women have experienced sexual violence since the age of 15. These are just some of the stats coming up, and there's so many more that add to the list.
So many. And I implore you for men out there too, to talk to women and find out what is actually happening and what is happening to us, because I never want this to become a gender issue. I don't want it to be about men
us
thinking.
And them,
it shouldn't be men and women versing each other. We need to work together on all of these issues. Stop making it about that and actually try to help. Like women, we can't seem to change the system. There must be men out there that are doing this to women, and we need to stop it.
And we were talking this morning about what are women in power doing, you know, those that do find themselves in high position in politics and indeed the business community.
Yeah.
Are they able to help? What can they do?
Are they stepping up? Are they making it their priority? And are they being heard? Because if they're part of the boys' club and they're getting into politics, but they're not being heard amongst themselves and they're having to just play the game as well, then we're not getting anywhere.
And one of the things we talked about this morning as well earlier is that it's not an easy thing to solve either.
No,
because there are so many men who are ticking time bombs out there, and that becomes, you know, to a large degree, a mental health issue as well.
Yes.
But why is it men killing women?
I don't,
why is it men beating women? You know what I mean?
Like, of course.
I've got a girl about to turn 18. I've got a wife as well. You know what I'm saying? So this really irks me as well.
Yeah, and I know it happens to both genders. I'm not, you know, I'm not an idiot. We know that happens, but I'm just saying that there is a serious, serious problem with women in this country who are terrified and are losing their lives to people who apparently love them most of the time. You know, the stats are it's mostly a partner or a former partner.
Yeah, and it's true. You're not making that divide, but indeed it's the media that make that divide.
Yes.
You know, we see the stories of when men are injured.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
of course,
and
yeah.
And there's a whole public outrage, but it's not, you know.
We're talking to Mark McGowan today. We have the Premier coming in, and I am going to ask him this question because I don't know what we're supposed to do. I'm a woman who works in the media, and I still feel like I don't have a voice for all of these things and I can't help everybody.
We'll put a shark net out for, you know, some fatalities.
We'll get a lot of people talking.
The shark. We're certainly happy to jump on the sharks and stop the shark killing, for sure.
And it continues on as well when you look at, you know, we talk about the Rosie Batty situation. If anyone who's read her book, if you haven't, it's worth a read, and there's so much in that as well. The threats to herself and her life, but she lost a child, lost a son through it as well.
And if you're on social media, think about your outrage today. Think about where you're directing your outrage.
Try
and channel it to something that's actually going to make a change or be useful, because the other stuff's irrelevant. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, we won't put it all on the Premier, but we have to ask him the question to see what he, you know, see if he can head us down a certain path in which the state government, their point of view on.
Who do we talk to?
Yeah.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Premier Mark McGowan joins us once again. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me.
Now, okay, first cab off the rank, the TAB. We're going to sell it. You're hoping to get about $500 million for it. Is that all true? and I guess as someone who doesn't know anything, you know, we've got this thing that presumably we get money from every year. And if we sell it, then do we not get money anymore apart from one big, you know, chunk of cash?
Well, we said before the state election that this is an asset that we'd sell. The reason we're selling it is because the TAB, because of its size and because of who it competes with, it can't compete anymore.
Right.
So if you sell it, you get some value you can put back to the racing industry and to the taxpayers.
Okay.
And you offload it before the TAB, in effect, you know, basically ends because it won't be able to compete. So so we get some value for the industry and the taxpayers.
So long term, it's an asset that isn't going to pay what it's paying now.
No, it doesn't really pay anything to the taxpayers.
Okay,
its revenue goes back to the industry. That will continue, but it'll be part of a bigger organisation. One of the bigger operators will buy it and it will have a bigger balance sheet and the like. It's not like some other government assets like the Water Corporation or Western Power. It's not like those. It's basically a business that engages in betting and it can't compete with the big operators.
Okay, well, carry on with that. That's great.
And it's something like 35% going back into the business of the, you know, the horse.
We'll go back
into
the racing industry. So they'll be able to use 35% of the value. If we got $500 million, well, 35% of that, which is $175 million.
Look at you, guy.
I think, maybe.
he looked at me and I had this, like, look of...
There'll be a tweet, don't worry.
Yeah, someone will work that out. That would go into racing infrastructure. So around Western Australia, regional city will go into improving the facilities.
All right.
Yeah, 175. Well done. Now, I thought it was a nice touch, you visiting the Dome Cafe in Rockingham. I know it's your ballpark, your zone down there, but the tragic death of this mental health worker and Jacqueline Francis, but a nice touch to go down and see the staff. They would have been devastated by that.
Well, I went and spoke to the staff yesterday morning because it is in my electorate and I do just live in that area. So I regularly visit those shops, in fact, all the time. The staff were very strong, I thought. You could tell there's a bit of emotion there because, in effect, I think if she didn't die on the floor there in the cafe, she died in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. And so they went through a lot unexpectedly. They're just standing there at the counter and this woman comes in that condition. But obviously it's a bigger issue of violence towards women and violence towards people who are just doing their job.
Yes.
And it's the sort of thing that we all know shouldn't happen.
Well, Mark, we talked about that this morning on the show because there are a few words you can say here in Perth at the moment, and just through one or two words you can cause major outrage. I mean, if I say plastic bags, outrage, strawberries, outrage, gaff, outrage, you know, over all of those things, and yet dead women doesn't seem to get the same outrage that those things get. And we talked about six women who have been killed in Australia in the last 5 days, which sadly is not a new thing. This has been going on for years. Like, so many women are killed every year. And I'm genuinely feeling day to day more distress because I feel like the government are silent on this issue. Now, that may not be the case, and you can tell me if I'm wrong on that, but this doesn't seem to get the public outcry or the government support that it actually requires. It's a much bigger issue than people are making out. And we're now getting used to it. Like, it's standard now. And I'd like to ask you, who can we turn to? Is there something you can do about it? And I ask you very sincerely, how do we stand up and stop this?
Well, it's wrong. And it's, as you said, it's happened for a long period of time. I think what's happened with, in particular, domestic violence, the incident on the weekend, I don't think was a domestic violence incident. But domestic violence is, it's now out of the shadows. And there is a strong cultural push towards dealing with it as a criminal offence. So the police, rather than perhaps 10, 15 years ago, they'd say that's domestic and perhaps not investigate the matter. Now they have protocols whereby they will charge these guys who do this. We've appointed the state's first minister for the prevention of domestic violence. We're building more refuges. We're actually changing the law to allow you, if you're on a rental property, if you're the victim of domestic violence, to be able to get out of
break
that lease. Get out of that lease. So we're actually changing that law to allow those women in that situation to get out. We've actually, methamphetamine's part of it, of course. We've got a whole range of initiatives there. But domestic violence programs, Commonwealth funds, I've taken it up with the Prime Minister. I actually spoke to the Prime Minister about it. And so there's a whole range of programs that Commonwealth was funding to help women stay in the home, change locks, security and the like. I've asked them to continue to fund those. So a whole range of things. But as a society, as a community, we need to say no. We need to, at every level, in every family, in every community, say if you're aware of these things, you out it, and it's not acceptable.
Yeah. And so how can we make this a national push? What can you do? Like, if you're my guy, right? You're my spokesperson. You represent me. You represent the other women. You represent our whole community here. How can we make that high in your agenda to push nationally?
Well, it is on the national agenda, and the Minister for the Prevention of Domestic Violence, Simone McGuirk, is on the record nationally and is taking it up nationally at various meetings that we do change this culture in Australia. I mean, I'll just tell you a brief story. When I was a kid, I had a sleepover at a friend's house. His dad beat his mum up. I'd never seen that before. And I was terrified. I was about 12. I'd never seen it. I could not believe that this was occurring. You know, now, 38 years later or so, the good thing, if you like, is that it is now something the police will pursue. It is something that people will say no to, but we need to do more.
Cultural change, which
there has been.
Takes a while, but hopefully been.
And the system's got some holes in it that even though they are set up with the best of intentions, the system is not working, clearly. You know, that's evident.
It's not as though there's, you know, everyone's just sitting on their hands about it, but it is, you know, it's a tough situation, as the Premier mentioned. There's lots of different angles and facets to it, aren't there?
Very hard to police.
Not an easy
very
one to
hard.
Fix. Mm.
Yes. Well, I feel, you know, it's a serious subject and it's hard to move on. But I was going to ask you, Rotnest. I know, it's a weird segue. I'm currently writing a song about Rotnest, and I wondered what your memories or experiences are.
Are they going to go into the song?
Well, they may.
If you do a selfie with a quokka, then you're all good.
Maybe. What you've obviously been to Rotnest.
And numerous times.
Yes, yep. with the family.
With the family.
Enjoy a holiday there.
Been out there, stayed in the accommodation. My first time I ever went there, I stayed in a tent. In fact, the first three or four times I went there, I stayed in a tent, in Tentland, as it then was. It's not there anymore.
Yep.
My mate, who came with us during the night, he was sleeping in the next tent about 3 in the morning. He threw on me a sign. He climbed up some pole and he unscrewed a sign, which he then brought back and threw into my tent.
Right. Okay.
Which, you know, I was slightly scared that I'd get arrested or something. And then he went and set it up next to the police outpost there. So...
Right.
Well, you were 25 years ago that happened. You know, I won't say who he was, but if he's listening, he'll know what he
he'll
did.
He'll know exactly what it was.
There you go. My Rottnest song is written. Thank you, Premier.
Yeah, the Premier's dodgy mate.
Yeah.
And Mr. Premier, obviously, I'm a Docker, and there's a lot of Dockers people who also wish the Eagles best in the grand final. But what a great result for not just the West Coast Eagles Footy Club, but for our state. Mm. And will you be grabbing a copy of the West and getting the Eagles sticker and popping it on one of the government's cars?
Of course. That's a great idea. Hadn't thought of that. I will definitely do that. They were wonderful. And even if you support the Docks, anyone who doesn't support Collingwood, I think would have been very proud of the Eagles and what they did for our state.
Yeah, it was a great season.
And they're a great group of guys. I met a few of them, you know, at the function on the Sunday. Mm. Just lovely, grounded, hardworking, committed fellows. You know, they're not show ponies, just get the job done sort of crowd.
The business. I think that all comes down from Adam Simpson. He's got a lot to do with that because he's always been about family values and whatnot in the team. So that's
He's a nice, understated man, but determined.
Mm. Good to see you, Mr. Premier.
Thank you.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
Here for Allianz Home and Motor Insurance.
Yeah, thanks Allianz, because we know you've got the cover the cars, you insure the houses, you basically got everything sorted.
Well, yeah, it's whatever your passion is, whatever your pride and joy is. Maybe it's a really expensive camera or your car or your easel, whatever it is. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure if Allianz cover easels, but they cover everything else.
Could be sentimental value, which it can be as much as the fiscal side of things, couldn't it?
Yeah, but while everyone's got their thing, Allianz has their insurance. That's their thing.
Ah. Allianz.
Yeah, give them a call on 131,000. Thanks, Allianz.
The Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
We're taking some calls this morning because we had this message that came through that we spotted on Twitter, and it was a guy saying that his mum checked out, cleaned out the a whole lot of rubbish, but that included the pool table. And after 25 years since their old man passed away, she found his punting stash, his betting money, $3,000 of rolled notes in one of the corner,
top left-hand pocket.
The corner pocket, you know?
Great place to stash.
Yeah, just incredible. Obviously, yeah.
We want to know what you might have discovered after someone's passed away. Adrian's in Canning Vale. Adrian, what did you discover?
It wasn't actually me. It was a friend of mine about 15 years ago. They had their grandfather pass away and they had the, you know, the reading of the will.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
So everyone was fighting over the furniture as usual and they were left four 44-gallon drums of wheat for their chooks.
Okay.
Yep.
Much to the laughter of everybody. They took them home, and then it wasn't until they started using the wheat to feed the chooks that they found it was full of, they had capstan tins full of money inside of them.
Oh, wow. Brilliant.
Wow.
Yeah, how so that's much? Where he, thousands. They, wow. That's where they he put his stash, and it was, he'd been stashing it in there for so long.
Yeah.
It went from the pound note to the current.
Oh, that's generosity amazing. Beyond the grave.
That's brilliant.
And they never revealed it to anyone.
No.
They just kept it hush hush, and that went a long way for them.
Ah, oh, lovely story.
Yeah,
yes.
It was amazing.
That's excellent, and you know, also a bit of a there you go, stick it to them for the people who laugh. After getting the four drums.
Yeah, on the quiet side, of course.
But, yeah, of course.
They were laughing all the way to the bank, so to speak.
Literally.
And nobody had a clue.
Oh, that's a beauty.
Trying to change the pounds over for currency.
Yeah.
Thanks, Adrian. Good story.
Good on you, buddy. Let's go to Mandra. John, what did you discover after someone passed away?
Yeah, it was my grandfather passed away in the early 80s, and he was a carpenter by trade, and we were going through his old toolbox for all his homemade tools. And in the very bottom of the box was this one slide box that he'd made, and we found £3,500 in it.
Wow.
All right.
That's fantastic.
Cheeky little secret panel.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I often wonder when people stash this money away, were they ever accessing it during every now and then popping in and grabbing something, or have they put it there and forgotten all about it?
I would imagine there'd be some forgetful ones,
yeah.
Especially if it's, you know, the old currency.
Yeah, good find. Yeah. Thanks, John.
John, what were you able to do with it? Were you able to cash it in? What do you do with currency like that?
Yeah, it actually went to help pay for his funeral.
Oh, okay, so nice. You can change
perfect.
It over.
Perfect.
Right. Nice. Giving it back.
Yeah, good on you, buddy.
Yeah, Linda's on the phone this morning. G'day, Linda. So you're in Bayswater, but you're from Sydney, right?
Yes, that's correct.
What did you find after someone passed away?
Well, when my mother died, we were going through all the stuff and we found three paintings. Mm. And they were by Albert Namatjira, who's a famous Aboriginal artist.
Yeah.
And I have some memory that my dad was a friend of his. So they weren't Prince, they were the originals.
Yep.
And neither my sister nor I liked them. And Mum obviously didn't like them because they'd been in a drawer. So we threw them in the dumpster. So no, they're not recoverable. And then I turned to a friend and she said, you know, they were probably worth about $80,000 each.
Wow. Oh. Nematura, exactly.
So I felt sick.
Of course.
Did you not know who it was when you threw them out?
Knew who it was. But never really liked them, never realised. I'm not an artist,
sure.
You know, and I'm not a connoisseur of fine arts, etc. So I had no idea, and neither did my sister. And, yeah, it was just a friend years later who she and her husband were right into art, and they bought lots of paintings, etc., and I was telling her, and she said, you know, yeah, $80,000 each. And I said,
Linda.
Are you... You know, beep, 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 beep.
Especially because you were happy to give them up anyway. Wow. You didn't even want them. Most of the time people go, this is the family heirloom. Yeah, I want to keep it. And they say, it's worth $200,000. And they're like, ooh.
No, the things I wanted to keep are probably worth nothing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then since then I've been through the Canberra Art Gallery and I thought, maybe they were prints. And I didn't see any of them.
Yeah. Right, okay.
And when you're in the Canberra Art Gallery, there was one, you know, there was about six from one particular family, and I thought, yep, they were definitely the original family.
Right, okay.
And I'm pretty sure my father knew him somehow. So, okay. Yeah.
Well, I think if you went to Kerry Stokes' office, he's a wonderful art collector, Kerry Stokes, he'd have some Namajira in there, I would imagine.
And
he's
you'll
a
often
lot of
see him
art.
Going through dumpsters looking for artwork.
Yeah. Watercolours of landscape with the white ghost gums. So I do remember them quite vividly.
There you go.
But
oh, shame.
Thanks, Linda. We appreciate your honesty.
Yeah, I didn't give them to anyone.
No.
They're gone.
Enjoy Perth, Linda.
Yeah, they're in
landfill. Okay, thank you very much.
Sadly, landfill. That's awful, isn't it?
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
Now, the moment you've been waiting for all morning. It's Captain Paul's joke of the day.
Yeah, I went down to the supermarket yesterday and I swapped 50 raisins for 100 sultanas.
Okay.
Yeah, look, I can't believe the current exchange rate.
Nice.
That Big Breakfast catch-up was for Allianz Home and Motor Insurance. Ah, Allianz.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.